Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 2-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. If you were a young person diagnosed with a rare form of cancer, how would you react? And once your treatment was over, would you help others? Well, that's exactly what Aaron Spicer has done. He is a part of an organization called StupidCancer.com, and he helps other young survivors get busy living and deal with their cancer. How are you today, Aaron?
Very good. Thank you for having me on, Mel.
Excellent. Well, tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm a 3-year survivor of a rare form of testicular cancer called non-goldenal germ cell seminoma.
Wow.
And it's a kind of a strange experience for myself, but we're in our third year of beating the disease, and it's great to be above ground again.
Well, yes. Well, you were telling me a little bit about your story before the show, so why don't you share that with our listeners?
Sure. So back in 2001, I had developed a lot of fatigue and a lot of chest pains, wasn't sure what was going on, and had went up to a hospital. I was out in Pennsylvania area, western Pennsylvania, in a little town called Meadville, and ended up in Erie, Pennsylvania for some tests. Had a biopsy done on it, on the tumor. Came back, and the doctor told me that there was nothing wrong. So I went about my life being treated for a rare chest disease, and pulmonary sarcoidosis was what they had determined I had had.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So after a little research, I kind of found out I didn't fit the prerequisites for having this disease, and so much so that the National Institute of Health actually flew me down for some tests down in Bethesda to find out, you know, exactly how a guy of, you know, with my background and everything, how I developed this disease. They determined I didn't have it, but didn't tell me exactly what it was I had. So,
now, how old were you at this time?
I was in my mid-20s, so about 25, 26, somewhere in that range. So jump a few years ahead, my wife and I had moved down to Florida, and this was about 2005, end of 2005. I got real sick real quick after moving down there. You know, at a young age, you kind of think maybe I'm stressing myself out, working too much, and just didn't worry too much about it. And then over the next couple of months, I started seeing some doctors, and we took some chest X-rays and everything else, and we started to notice that, you know, tumors were growing all, you know, all over on the inside of me. So the doctors became a little bit concerned, and by about June of that year,
a little bit concerned.
Correct. So we went through the whole process, and after about 5 to 7 doctors got together and determined, you know, I'd seen everybody from a rheumatologist to a heart specialist to lung specialist, you know, general physician. They all had determined, you know, we need to send you up to the Mayo Clinic and have you taken a look at up there. So I decided to go ahead and take their advice, and we went up there. And I met with the doctor and went up for, like, a pre-op. They wanted to just, you know, go through some of the procedures that they would go through. A week later, my wife and I would fly up, and basically the determination was they were going to open me up and take the tumors out and just go from there.
That must have been pretty scary when they just said, oh, by the way, you're not leaving tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, so as you mentioned, they did mention that to me. They said, Aaron, listen, if we let you go home now, there's a good chance that, you know, you may not make it in the morning. So he says, whatever this is, he goes, I'm almost confident it's a form of cancer. He goes, and you're probably about a late stage 4 with this type of cancer of whatever it is. He goes, but we need to find out what it is so we can start attacking it right away. So over the next 24 hours, I was admitted into the hospital. My wife had to make a drastic flight from Florida to Ohio to drop off children, to fly up to Minnesota.
Oh my goodness.
And by the time she got there, I had already been through my first procedure. My parents and my grandma had driven up from Ohio and Michigan to be with me during the morning. And my wife came in. And when my wife had arrived, they came in and told us, you know, you do have a form of cancer. We're not sure what type of cancer it is, so we're going to do one more test. But at the end of it all, about a 10-hour period, we had finally determined that it was this rare form of testicular cancer. So we started battling for about 3 weeks in the hospital there, started my first treatments, made the journey back towards my home, and ended up in a hospital in Ohio. When we went back to go pick up my kids, I was down and out for, about a month and a half in Ohio. Got to spend it in the hospital right across the street from my parents.
Oh, no.
Septic shock, staph infections.
Just from the traveling?
The traveling, and then the wound that they had gone into to go through the tumor and, you know, do the biopsy on had caused an infection, a staph infection. So My body started rejecting, and then they had dosed me up with the chemotherapy to start my treatment, and it was just a perfect storm of events.
Right, that dropped your white counts down.
Yeah, so everything went through the, right through the ground on me, and ended up in there, and, at that point it was, you go through the whole losing your hair, and, you begin immediately to start realizing that this is for real. And,
yes.
And you start going through those, those life things that you just never thought you'd go through, and you start growing up real fast. So.
And how did your wife and your kids deal with all that at that time?
It was difficult. I mean, if you look at it, the way that I always joke with my wife was, she had three kids to deal with at the time,
Yeah.
She's changing dirty diapers and cleaning up pukey kids. So. We had a one-year-old son at the time of my diagnosis, and then we had a 13-year-old daughter. So
wow.
It was tough, and especially for the daughter, since she had to go through, mom and dad are kind of withdrawn from me, and, it was real tough on her growing up.
Right.
She had to deal with this, my daddy's sick, I was a stepdad, but, nonetheless, she was really concerned about this, didn't know how to deal with it, nobody to talk to about it. So, and we were in a community in Florida where, young adults weren't common. They didn't
right.
have young adults going through cancer. It was, the older generation, the geriatric generation of people. And they didn't know how to deal with us or my family or anything. Great support from the community. It was such a fabulous group of women that were in there and treating us. But in the end, it was, no survivorship programs, nothing for my wife to go and talk to anybody about.
Really?
So it was a very tough situation that, at the end of all of the treatments and everything else, we walked away from the doctor or, from that center, and I promised those people, I said, with everything you guys have done and all the love and caring you guys did for my family, I want to make sure that nobody has to go through that again, after I leave here. I said, if I'm right. able to do something, I want to find out how I can help. And, my search and my journey began almost immediately because at that point when I had left my last meeting, I was pretty sure I was, done. Health-wise, in the way I felt, I kind of thought that, I might be reaching the end. And I called my parents and asked them to come down and move my family back home because just wasn't too sure, that I wanted my wife down there having to
right.
deal with my death if that had happened and
mm-hmm.
being by herself and everything else. So I wanted to be back close home to family and everything else. So,
were you able to keep a positive mental attitude throughout all this? Or
it was tough. I mean, mm-hmm. I definitely had my moments of, wanting to give up and,
mm-hmm.
Just not wanting to fight anymore. It was... Yeah, I'm sure you've experienced the same thing, but just the throwing up all the time in the
mm-hmm.
dramatic way. I lost 65 pounds.
Wow.
I had that six pack I always wanted, but it was just my ribs that were showing, that didn't, it's not kind of what I was looking for.
I tell people cancer is the best diet I ever had.
And
they look
is.
At me like, what? What did you just say?
I've said that before, and I do get the strange looks through the eyes of people as well. So yeah, it was tough. And, I really didn't have a lot of people I could turn to or talk to for that moral support. And, I had a group of friends, from the cancer community, from the doctors and stuff like that. But,
right.
And then I had some friends. I was a big gamer at the time. So to take my mind and meditation off of it, I used to play Xbox Live with some friends. So
sweet.
It was nice because, aside from the, the motion sickness
oh, yeah.
that some of those cause, it was great because I still had a group of friends that were able to keep my spirits up and everything else.
Yeah,
too,
I have a funny story with motion sickness. At the hospitals, they usually give you like a little DVD player to watch movies on.
Yep.
So I brought one of my favorite movies, The Italian Job. Big mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying.
Sure. Yeah, I hear you. So after I got back to Ohio, I had a dramatic turnaround. It was the strangest thing. Because after being so sick and so ill for so long, we drove back home. And when we crossed the Florida border heading back north,
mm-hmm.
it was 85 degrees when we left Florida in Naples. We headed back home, and when we crossed the Florida border heading north, I never was sick again. And
really?
I wasn't sick ever again for almost 2 years after that. Never threw up one more time. Never had the urge to throw up.
Wow.
I don't know if it was a mental thing that I kind of just succumbed to the fact that maybe I was dying
mm-hmm.
and kind of gave up on myself. But after having my mom and dad and being able to hug and, hold them again and everything else, it's just kind of weird. It's almost that childish thing about you. You feel loved and you feel the support again from your family.
Exactly.
It inspired me, and I got back home, and I started a job 3 days later, got right back to work.
Wow.
I wasn't going to let it defeat me. I couldn't walk, barely, but it was kind of scary because I scared a lot of people at the engineering firm I went to work for, too. They looked like, as they referred to me as Q-Ball and Skeletor, so, which was fine.
But at least you were able to work. I mean, a lot of people can't right after chemo and everything.
Yeah, so. I was an engineer, so I worked in front of computers all day, so I could just go in, put headphones on, and, you know, just do the thing that I knew I could do really well. So
excellent.
Yep, it was great. So after I got done with that and started doing that, I started looking around to see what I could do again. And this is kind of where, you know, I reached out and found Matthew Zachary from I'm Too Young for This.
Right.
And at the time when he was starting out, as he likes to tell people, I was the 13th person to ever email him and want to learn about the organization. And now we're reaching out to, you know, tens of thousands of people, 500 cancer centers across the United States. And now we're helping young adults getting busy living again after, you know, going through this, or even while they're still going through this, letting them know that there's, you know, support out there and there's people they can turn to and, you know, get good information from. So
right now, for the listeners who don't know, stupid cancer, if you go from, I know age 40 is your
we kind of like to cover the group of, you know, the 18 to 40 year olds.
Right.
So we fill that gap in between, you know, the pediatrics and the geriatrics. And either way you look at it, we're going to be a part of your group at some point. So.
Exactly.
It's a nice gap fill for us, and it's been great because we're able to, you know, reach out to those young adults who may not know about, you know, the different events that people are hosting, or, you know, different events where they want to learn about, you know, the types of insurance things that are just not explained to you, or, you know, some of your cancer centers may not know about now. So.
Right, exactly. And I found I was blogging on stupidcancer.com, and I think that's how I found Matthew. Was, you know, I just started blogging and I found him, and then he has such a great organization and a great sense of humor, and that's why I really liked what he's doing with it.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
When you think of, you know, I'm sure before you had cancer, before I had cancer, cancer was just some old person's disease.
Yeah, exactly.
And even the doctor who did my biopsy said, you know, I've been doing this for 25 years and I've only been surprised by a handful of diagnoses, and you were one of them. I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling me the odds, kid.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, no, I mean, and that even goes back to my my first diagnosis. When I asked and I begged and I pleaded, I said, you know, tell me, I don't have cancer. And I make jokes about this now, but they told me, you're too young to have cancer. There's no way you have cancer. So the fact that I, you know, it came full circle and I end up in an organization called I'm Too Young for This was just the irony of it all was kind of funny to go through. So,
but surprisingly, that's what people say. That's what doctors.
Sure.
I think, you know, with stupid cancer, and hopefully with this podcast, that the word will get out. I mean,
absolutely.
That is something that should be tested for. I actually had a friend of mine on Facebook. She's like, oh, I'm not feeling that well, and I'm doing this and doing that. And I said, well, and she said she had a history of cancer in her family. I said, well, if it is, you need to do, you know, this, this, and this.
Sure, absolutely.
And she's like, well, we're not that far yet. I said, I know, I'm just putting the information out there.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
I think, as you know, knowledge is the key and information is the key, and it's
sure.
scary.
Absolutely.
You know, nobody wants to think about, you know, well, I had cancer in my family, so maybe I have it. Because that's always the last thing on your mind.
Yeah, you know, and that's the other thing about it is you get that whole having to get in the mindset that you may need to face that up front,
right.
You know, and then the going through the part of it. And then a lot of the things that are forgotten about that is our age group survives this a lot.
Right.
You know, so what do you do after that? You know, what are the things that you can do? Well, you know, we want you to get busy living again. And, you know, you got to learn about those, you know, those side effects like we were talking about earlier, you know,
right.
before we were doing this. There's the neuropathies. There's the, you know, the side effects of not being able to sleep, the chemo brain. You know,
mm-hmm.
how many times have you gone through that?
Every day.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, those are just things that if somebody's out there and they're going, man, this isn't right. And to hear from other people that, you know what, we all go through this kind of stuff. It makes it a little bit easier, and it's a nice mindset for people to get into and be able to understand that there's others like them. So
exactly, because I always find it funny because when the doctors give you the list of side effects, it's like they're giving you the menu of what you may or may not have.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're just like, I really don't want any of those, and
sure.
you just kind of like gloss over it.
Yep.
But then, like, I had the worst insomnia going through my treatment, and you know, I finally realized, well, you know, it's a side effect. It's not because I can't sleep or I don't want to. It's because of the medication.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've, you know, blogged about that and told people about that. And they're like, wow, I had no idea that the reason why I couldn't sleep is because of the drugs I'm on.
Yeah, you know, and that's so amazing, though. Is look at us now.
Exactly.
A couple of years outside of this, those questions that we had going through this now, and now we can share that with everybody. And that's what's so amazing to me. And, you know, it's kind of my inspiration for, you know, hey, there's a reason I survived this, and if I can reach out to one person or help one other person with this, then mission accomplished for me. So
exactly. Now you are the, what is your title?
So I'm the president of the Young Adult Leadership Council, and basically what I help do is help coordinate young adults across the United States who want to put together stupid cancer happy hours, investigate putting boot camps together, and we're going to be rolling those out a lot more this year as well. But
so what is a boot camp?
Basically, the boot camps, what we do are we team up, and we've been working with groups like the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, and we get together with those organizations, and we like to share information. So we'll bring in somebody who's an expert on insurance, or bring in some survivors to talk to some people. But what we like to do is it's one of those generic blankets that we can throw out there, and then we let the community tell us what they want and what they're looking for, and then we bring in the guest speakers, or we work with other organizations that we're involved with to bring in those guest speakers, local doctors, whatever it is, and just answer the questions. We'll put panels out there in front of people. The big event that we have is the one coming up in New York City in May. We've got the OMG Summit.
Right.
So, and the big picture with that one is it's basically like taking these boot camps at a smaller, minute level. That's the large one that we do. So last year we had Kevin Hearn from the Bare Naked Ladies, perform at our event. And Kevin's band found out that they were going, and like, we want to come too. So the whole band came out and did an acoustic set for us. And, it's a great opportunity to get out and meet new individuals. And those people that like to think that they're sheltered or isolated or alone in this, you get in front of a room of people that are either going through what you've gone through or have gone through that. So, and that, I can't stress enough, that is so inspirational as you go through these things. And being able to connect with people is a fast way of getting busy living again.
I agree. And a lot of the side effect that I've had is depression and just dealing with, and I'm sure you have too. And, I do keep a positive mental attitude, but there were some days where I just like, well, I don't know who to talk to about this, and my fiance won't understand, and I don't want to be like, oh, poor cancer girl, and get on Facebook and whatever.
Yep.
And then you talk to another survivor, and they're like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. What was really good for me, too, is I finally started meeting people again when I thought I had it so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You hear some people, and I'm like, whoa, I'll never say I had cancer again. The people that go through 3, 4, 5 times,
exactly.
It's so inspiring to me, and to know that I went through this and the little side of it, but man, this is such an ugly disease, and I hope that we can rid the world of it someday,
Oh, I know. And just one form of cancer in my lifetime, I would love to see them eradicate. Obviously more, but,
Absolutely.
I was talking to someone about this the other day. It's like, just pick one out of a hat. I don't care.
Sure, absolutely.
Let's get rid of it.
Sure.
I don't know if pink buckets are the thing, that KFC thing.
Yeah.
But
don't get me started with that one.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Yeah, pink... pink ribbon blues, that's what I say.
Yeah, exactly.
Although the funniest thing I've ever seen, because I like to take pictures of people or my friends on Facebook of all the ridiculous pink ribbon things, the best two things that I saw at the local grocery store was a hairbrush.
Okay, yep.
And one of the hair ties.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like, really? And the hairbrush said, it doesn't hurt. It's like, well, if you don't have any hair.
How are you going to brush your hair?
Yeah, I don't think someone at the whatever brush company was really thinking marketing-wise when they said, yeah.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the pink pack of marbles to show up. That's my next one. As soon as I see those, then the world has come completely full circle.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I
know. But there's all sorts of other great companies that donate. And,
yeah, I just as long as we can get people to start being smart about, the donations that are coming to this and making sure that money is really going to research or, helping an organization like I2Y to spread those messages. As long as that's being done, hey, I'm all for it. So
exactly.
Let's just stay positive with it. Let's not make it a corporation itself.
Exactly. Now, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you, Aaron?
Well, you can do it a few different ways. You can go to www.stupidcancer.com, or you can email me directly. My email address is aspicer, S-P-I-C-E-R, @i2y.com.
Now, when are we going to get KISS involved?
Oh, my God, that would be a dream come true, wouldn't it?
Because if the listeners don't know, you're a huge KISS fan. So.
Absolutely am. Yeah, I'll keep it real short, but I had the opportunity just after I was diagnosed. My brother and my best friend had flown down to Florida and had surprised me, and not to my wife's liking at all. but arranged for me to go and see Paul Stanley on tour.
Awesome.
And when we got down there, my wife and my best friend had decided they were going to stand out back and try and get me inside to meet him.
Right.
Long story short, I ended up becoming a VIP guest that night, got to meet Paul Stanley, spent 20 minutes with him backstage. And
holy crap, that's awesome.
The highlight of my life. You know, if anything positive came out of cancer, it's very selfish, but I got to meet Paul Stanley. So.
Well, I know, and it's really funny because I know you and I are kind of the same way. I'm the same way with, like, hockey. You know, when I write letters, it's like, oh, here's a story I wrote, and my cancer experience was basically based around the Wings winning the Stanley Cup.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
And they hoisted the Stanley Cup banner 1 year to the day of my lumpectomy.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, I write this story, and I'm thinking, they're probably thinking this 38-year-old woman is writing this story where, like, a five-year-old kid should be writing
exactly.
or something. You know, but I'm exactly the same way. And, you know, I met Gordie Howe when I was, like, you know, the only person over 12 to ask him for an autograph. But...
Sure, sure. Yeah, I hear you.
But, yeah, I mean, stories like that, I mean, just think of how much that kept you going.
Oh, you know, and it was great because his album had just come out, and it was the title of it was Live to Win.
Sweet.
You know, and he gave me such an inspiring speech at the end. He goes, you know, my album's coming out. It's Live to Win. He goes, so, you know, maybe that will mean, he goes, it means something different to me. He goes, but maybe you can use it in your fight. And I tell you what, I listened to that album every day during treatment.
Awesome.
And it got to a point where I can't listen to the album anymore because it brings back such terrible memories.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It's an emotional overflow for me. But it was so inspiring. And to have somebody like that, you know, a guy that I'd been a fan of for 30 years to say something like that to you, it just gives you such vigor and such fight inside of you. And, hey, it works for some people, and it worked for me. So.
Exactly. Well, thank you for sharing, Aaron.
Absolutely.
I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. I am the Cancer Warrior. You can find me on Facebook because I'm a Facebook junkie, Mel Majoros. You can be a fan of the page, or I guess now you can like it on Facebook, The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com. Check out my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.